There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
So if you've ever heard me probably on this show or on my show, WVNN, the Yaffe program in Huntsville, you should know that I'm a pretty big fan of Steve Marshall as our attorney general. Now, I'm sure he's not perfect, but I think he does a great job. I think he's doing a lot of the right things, including when it comes to abortion with Roe v. Wade overturn, implementing the law there. I think in other cases, he has implemented the law, enforced the law pretty well and gone after those who haven't. Although I guess maybe on the gambling thing, maybe not as much, but that's a whole other issue. But also, he is fighting in court right now to get the transgender treatment ban to go into effect. So in earlier this year, Governor Kay Ivey signed a law that banned quote-unquote transgender treatment. I always tell people this. No, when I say treatment, it's in quotes. It's in air quotes. I'm saying, you can't see it, but I'm saying it. Passed a law that banned those kind of treatments for minors, which include like puberty blockers, hormone treatments, and sometimes surgery and other things. Gender-affirming care. And a federal court decided to put an injunction against it. Well, Steve Marshall is fighting this in court, and he's using the abortion decision in this case as well. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. You are listening to Midday Mobile. I am Yaffe filling in for Sean Sullivan, who is on vacation. Appreciate him giving me the opportunity once again to talk to you, to talk to people in Mobile. If you want to call in or text in on anything, you can at 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Later on in the hour, at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to be speaking with Laura Reese. She is with the Heritage Foundation, an expert on border policy. Yeah, the horrific story out of Texas now where 53 migrants were killed inside a truck because they were left abandoned inside a truck in Texas in triple degree weather. And this just highlights a continuing crisis at the border. So I'm going to talk to her about that and how we fix that crisis later on in the hour. By the way, you can also find some of my stories I write every day for yellowhammernews.com. And I wrote this story as well about Attorney General Steve Marshall and his transgender ban on minors. So Tuesday, Steve Marshall filed a court brief arguing that the recent Supreme Court decision that overturned Roe v. Wade, the Dobbs decision, should also apply to the Alabama law banning the transgender treatments. Now, just so you know, in the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization decision, the majority on the court argued that abortion was not protected under the 14th Amendment because it was not deeply rooted in the nation's history. Citing Dobbs, Marshall argues in the brief that no one, adult or child, has a right to transitioning treatments that is deeply rooted in our nation's history and tradition. No one, adult or child, has a right to transitioning treatment that is deeply rooted in our nation's history. So, says the state can thus regulate or prohibit those interventions for children, even if an adult wants the drugs for his child. Just as the parental relationship does not unlock a due process right allowing parents to obtain medical marijuana or abortions for their children, neither does it unlock a right to transitioning treatments. What he's saying is, look, under this decision in abortion, the reason why the court cannot say, or it has to do with the right to privacy, and the reason why this goes back to the states, is because this is not something that is deeply rooted in our history or tradition. In fact, in our history and tradition, there were constant laws throughout the states banning or limiting abortion until Roe was passed. So we go back to that standard, and since it's not laid out in the Constitution as a right, plus it's not deeply rooted in our history to allow it, that means it's up to the people in the states to decide. And what he's saying here is, look, the same thing can be said for these transgender treatments for minors. Because that's definitely not deeply rooted in our tradition. It's extremely controversial right now. And it's something where the state can make a decision here, because it's not something that they have a right in the federal government. Parents or children have a right in the Constitution or by the federal government to implement. So a federal court should not be able to block the state from regulating this. Now, I always think it's funny how people on the left are complaining that, oh, doctor, or the government's getting in the right of the doctors, getting in the way of the doctors. Are we really pretending that there aren't regulations on doctors and medicine now? I mean, that's why you have to get prescriptions for some things. And even right now, they're going after some doctors for over-prescribing certain medications because they get addicted. It's part of the opioid crisis problem and everything else. There's all kinds of regulations, especially for minors when it comes to medical decisions here. And this is even more than that. There is no absolute evidence that this so-called gender-affirming care means that that works and is best for the kid in the long run. So, yes, the state has the authority here to fight. And I just, legally, it sounds pretty good to me, although I am not a lawyer, I am not a legal expert, but it's good to see, one, that the Attorney General is fighting for this, and two, that maybe the Supreme Court decision, when it comes to Roe v. Wade, actually goes way beyond just abortion. And once again, goes back to the states and the people in these states deciding it. So the reason why this is important, though, because there are some on the left who have argued that this is just kind of a made up thing in Alabama. This isn't really even an issue in Alabama. Why are we even doing this? Of course, then those same people who argue that once this law is passed, they'll go after stories with kids who are getting these treatments and talk about how they're being deeply affected by it. But I think this is an important fight, and I think it is a very important decision and a very important law because, unfortunately, yes, the left is out there and they are working hard in the culture, media, whatever, Hollywood, whatever, and even in government to trans the kids, basically. I'll give you an example of this. Go ahead, Dalton, and play the Rachel Levine cut I sent you. This is the Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services. This is a biological man who now identifies as a woman talking about how we need to basically trans the children. This is the Biden administration doing this. Go ahead and play that cut for me.
Gender-affirming care is life-saving, medically necessary, age-appropriate, and a critical tool for healthcare providers. As a pediatrician, when it comes to making sure kids are healthy and happy, I know how important care that affirmed someone's true identity can be.
There we go. This is being pushed out there. This is being shoved in our faces by the top levels of government. Transing the kids. The backlash is coming for this. It's already started, but there is no way. What's going to happen eventually is a kid who went through these treatments is going to have issues and is going to end up suing one of the doctors for doing this because they did all this when they were vulnerable kids who really can't make these decisions to begin with. But this is something that's even beyond the government. Our culture is pushing this, and they're not even being subtle about this anymore. So there's a new show on Disney Plus that's out by them. It's called Baymax. It's based off that that Disney movie, Big Hero 6. And there's a scene in there I want to play here. I mean, this is a show for kids. You know, don't get that wrong. That is actively pushing a trans agenda. I mean, this is Disney now. They said they were going to do this. We have the videos behind the scenes. They're actually doing it now. They've actually done it in Marvel, by the way, in the new Doctor Strange movie, but at least that's more for adults, and that was a lot more subtle. This one isn't. Go on and play the Baymax cut that I sent you, Dalton. This is a clip from that show that week. Here it is.
Excuse me, which of these products would you recommend?
Well, these are the tampons I usually use.
Thank you.
I prefer pads. They're more comfortable for me.
Thank you.
I always get the ones with wings.
Thank you.
Get them scented and bleach free if you can.
Thank you.
Yo, my daughter loves these.
Thank you.
These might be easier if it's her first period.
Thank these you. Are really environmentally friendly.
So you can't really tell as much, but you might have noticed one. I don't know why they're adding a scene about, you know, feminine products in a kid's show like this. And, you know, it's a whole other subject. Don't get it. But you'll notice that one of the voices there that talked about the product he uses was a male voice. It was an obvious male voice. That means there's a guy there talking about the feminine pad that he uses. Now, in one sense, you can say, well, that would just be a funny, clever joke or something, because it's stupid to think that. But no. When you actually see it, you will see that that male is wearing a transgender flag on his T-shirt. So this is obviously a male. It's either a female who is now transitioned to a male, but still goes through that cycle, or most likely, I think it's supposed to represent a male who is now identifying as a female and saying, oh, well, now I need this, because this is ridiculous, but this is being pushed on our culture. So that's why these fights and what Attorney General Steve Marshall, that's why the fights are very important, what they're doing. You can react to this if you want. I mean, some are telling me they're gonna get rid of Disney Plus over this. Call me at 251-343-0106 or text at 251-343-0106. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Got some text messages coming in on this. I was talking a little bit about the case that Attorney General Steve Marshall is making, which is a good one, against the federal judge who decided to put an injunction on the law that was passed by the Alabama legislature to ban certain so-called transgender treatments for minors. And then I played that cut from the Disney show. I mean, it was going viral because the leaked cut was out there of a trans guy in the show. And now Disney, yes, is outright pushing this stuff on our kids now. And one person did text in and say, we have canceled Nickelodeon and Disney on the straight block. A lot more people are going to do this. It's just so unfortunate because Disney's, you know, I'm a Star Wars fan. I'm a Marvel fan. They're good shows that they have been putting out there on some of that stuff in the movies, the Star Wars movies and Marvel things. And it's like Disney is just begging me. I don't have kids right now, so I don't have to worry about kids watching it. But it's like Disney is just actively working and begging me to cancel it. I mean, it's just crazy. It really is just a crazy stuff. At the bottom of the hour, we are going to speak with Laura Rees. She is an expert with the Heritage Foundation. Got to talk about the continuing crisis of immigration and at the southern border, which is gotten even worse. You have that case in Texas where 53 migrants were locked in a truck, stuck in there, and were killed. So some did survive, but 53 of them were killed. Just a horrific situation that shows just how bad the crisis is down there. But I also do need to talk about one other thing here real quick. And that's what's going on with this January 6th committee. And I started off the show saying this, and I'll say it again. They're not going to indict President Trump. All these people wishing for that to happen in the media, saying it's going to happen. This is the next Watergate. This is so serious. History will remember Cassidy Hutchinson's name. No. Remember, this is a show. This is a show to put out a perception not really based on truth, but perception to make Trump and Republicans look bad. This is not a real attempt to get to the bottom of things. It's not a real attempt at securing the Capitol in the future. This is about a perception that they're putting out there. You have to remember that. And they proved that. So one of the biggest claims by Cassidy Hutchinson was that Trump, I guess, assaulted his Secret Service driver. Real quick, Dalton, can you go ahead and play that Cassidy Hutchinson cut? This is the cut that got a lot of people talking. Here it is.
The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, "Sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol." Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge towards Bobby Engel.
So there you go, saying all that. And why will this? Oh, that's assault. Why wouldn't Trump be charged? Well, here's one of the reasons. Go in and play the ABC News cut that I sent you, Dalton. Here it is.
Service so far is not commenting on specifics, but they just informed me that the Secret Service would like to respond under oath. Two sources familiar with the investigation confirmed that President Trump had requested to go to the Capitol on January 6th and that the Secret Service refused due to security concerns. One of those sources telling me that the president did return to the vehicle after his speech on the morning of January 6th and asked Agent Robert Engel if he could go to the Capitol. Engel said something to the effect of that being unwise or dangerous, and that the motorcade was going to take the president back to the White House. A source close to the Secret Service just told me to expect that the Secret Service will push back against any allegation of an assault against an agent or President Trump reaching for the steering wheel.
So right now, you have the Secret Service immediately pushing back on that claim by Cassidy Hutchinson that's been out everywhere, saying they'll testify under oath that it did not happen. Now, the news has also come out as well that Liz Cheney and this committee didn't even reach out to the Secret Service agents to corroborate this evidence. Now, usually that's what you would do in a case if you're interviewing someone and they say something like this and what she said is hearsay upon hearsay. You would try to find other witnesses to corroborate the evidence. They didn't even try. Why? Well, we all know why. Because they didn't care. All they cared about was getting that soundbite and putting it out there as quickly as possible before any of it could be debunked or before she changed her mind on something. So it's out there in the ether and you have the image out there. Because this is not about actually getting to a criminal charge or anything like that. This is about, like I've said, just trying to bash Trump as much as possible. Now, do I think Trump probably said dumb things on that day? Of course I do. I mean, Trump said dumb things in the Senate race here in Alabama about Mo Brooks that were completely not true. So obviously, that's completely possible that he would say dumb things like that. But does this mean that he broke some kind of law? No. What are you going to charge him with? If they were going to charge him with incitement, they would have already done so. There is no charge. He said peacefully and patriotically. He never directed people to attack the Capitol. He never directed people to have any kind of violence. And he is the president of the United States, yes, has a First Amendment right, a political speech, even political speech you don't like, and even political speech you might disagree with. If we start charging presidents for heated political rhetoric, you're going to have a serious, serious problem in this country in the future. They don't have a charge. They are not. It's not there. It's not going to happen. But just remember, that was never the intent. That was never the intent to begin with. Apparently, Adam Schiff is very frustrated, though, because he wants charges to be brought. It's not going to happen. What would you charge him with? You guys, guess you could charge him with assault if he actually attacked a Secret Service officer, but they're already denying it. I just had to throw that out there. So we're going to speak with Laura Reese. She's an expert with the Heritage Foundation. Going to talk about the continuing crisis at the border next. You're listening to Yaffe filling in for Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
listening to Midday Mobile here on FM Talk 106.5. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean once again. It's been a lot of fun. Always love to talk to the people of Mobile. So one of the big stories this week probably didn't get as much attention as it deserved, but it's a huge story, is what happened in Texas, the tragedy there that happened. So there were a bunch of migrants being smuggled in to the country from Mexico. And apparently the driver was on meth or something. They had technical difficulties. He abandoned the truck, left these migrants in triple digit heat, locked in the truck. 53 now have died from this. Firefighters at the scene said, you know, they never expected to see something like this. You shouldn't ever open up a truck and see 50 dead people in there. You don't ever expect to see that on the job. You know, Governor Abbott said this has happened on Biden's watch. Well, I'll talk a little bit about how the Biden administration has responded in a moment, but joining me on the phone right now, Laura Reese. She is an expert with the Heritage Foundation, an expert on immigration policy. Laura, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. I am not hearing her. I just wanted to let you guys know.
Hi. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, I can. Thank you, Laura. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
So, real quick, when you first heard about this story, what were your thoughts?
Well, that it's a tragedy, that the number was extremely large, and that it is encouraged by smugglers and by the open border policies of this administration that so many migrants are dying trying to get here. If you look at the statistics of the search and rescue by Customs and Border Protection, I mean, the numbers have just completely jumped over the past 2 years, as have the number of migrant deaths. So this doesn't need to be happening. It shouldn't be happening. What the administration needs to be doing is preventing illegal immigration in the first place, and then you shut down the smuggler's business and more people live.
Yeah, well, and that is one thing I was going to talk about, because the Biden administration reacted to this, and what they said is this is proof that they're securing the border because this person had to hide him in a truck to smuggle them in. So that's proof that they're actually trying to secure the border. Otherwise, they wouldn't have to be smuggled in. What is your response to that?
It's laughable if it weren't so serious and deadly. Anyone with eyes to see can see that this border is not secure and it is not closed. The smugglers know, and future migrants know, that the border is open, and that's why they continue to come from over three quarters of the globe at this point. Word has spread. And as long as people abroad get that phone call from their family member or friend of, hey, I got in, now's your time, they will keep coming. And so for the administration to argue that it is closed and that the border is secure it would be laughable if it weren't so serious.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is what's really encouraging them as well is, even if they have to be smuggled through the border, which apparently is not that difficult to do, but the immigration policies are in place where you have sanctuary cities where they're allowed to stay. Some cities want to give them driver's licenses. And of course, all they have to do is claim asylum and they just get put through a court and then allowed back in the country again.
Yes, and that's something your audience is really important that they are aware of. This administration is ruining asylum. After naturalization, asylum is really the second most important benefit that we give to immigrants because it is about saving lives and protecting them from persecution at the hands of their government on what are supposed to be immutable characteristics. But this administration just paints everyone that's crossing the border as asylum seekers when most of them are just coming here for a job and are not eligible for asylum. So they are encouraging asylum fraud. And they are also completely watering down the standards to give asylum to more people, even though they're not eligible for as feel-good justice.
So, well, that, you know, that's a good point, because people who need true asylum, this makes it kind of harder for them, doesn't it? Because it just messes up the process.
And it makes the line much longer, the wait much longer, not just for bona fide asylum applicants to have their case heard and decided, but for all of the legal immigrants who have applications filed and pending. So just to give you a sense, right now, USCIS, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, the agency responsible for adjudicating asylum and other immigration benefits, has a backlog of over 8.4 million cases. And asylum numbers about over 400,000 cases, but it is mixed in with that 8+ million. And so when you encourage more benefit fraud, you hurt everyone, not just illegal immigrants, but legal immigrants as well, and their sponsors, employers, et cetera.
Speaking with Laura Reese, she's an expert on immigration policy. She's with the Heritage Foundation. When you talk about the asylum process in particular and how much of a problem it is, how do we fix it?
Well, there are a number of things that need to be done. One, stop watering down the standards. So it's supposed to be based on persecution on your race, your religion, your nationality, your political opinion. Those are all pretty objective standards that you either can't change or shouldn't have to change. There's a fifth one. Membership in a particular social group. It's never been defined. It was a catch-all by the UN, and it is what the left uses to shoehorn in all sorts of circumstances that were not intended, such as domestic abuse, general crime, gang activity, climate change, you name it. And so that is how they give asylum to so many more people, or at least try to, by suddenly making many more populations eligible when that was certainly not the intention. So that membership in a particular social group should probably go away, or at least be really tightened down. Also, the administration just implemented or is implementing a new rule that is kind of cutting corners. It's cutting immigration judges out of the process. It's cutting ICE attorneys out of the process, and therefore the adversarial process and cross-examination. And so they're just trying to process more people into the U.S. quickly, get them asylum more quickly, get to yes faster, and therefore then these people are suddenly lawful and can't be removed. That's really the name of the game here.
Well, yeah, and one of the issues as well is, okay, they come in, they claim asylum, they go through the court, like you said, they've sped up the process. And even if they're not granted asylum, you know, they're kind of said, okay, show up in court in 6 months, but they never show up, right?
Yeah, that is a problem. Also, after 6 months, an asylum applicant, not someone who's granted asylum, but an applicant, can get a work authorization card, which is what they wanted in the first place. So there is no downside to an alien filing an asylum application, which is free because the left refuses to charge a fee for it. It buys them time here. They'll get work authorization, and that's exactly what they want, time here and the ability to work.
So, you know, one of the problems that they say is, well, we have to process them quickly and allow them in the country and tell them to come back, because if we don't, we don't have enough facilities to hold them, to house them. So how do you fix that issue?
So the left despises immigration detention, and they have been chipping away at it. The you know, tens of thousands of detention beds that they have, they don't use them all. They have done away with family detention centers. They ask Congress for fewer resources to have more detention. They simply don't want it. But rather than admit that, they say, well, Congress doesn't give us enough. So it's a very disingenuous argument. The solution is, yes, Congress needs to give many more resources for many more detention beds that the executive branch needs to use. And there is an option of returning migrants. We don't have to let them into the U.S. Yet again, the left never talks about that either. They only see this as a one-way path into the U.S.
Well, yeah, and Isn't there also some suggesting a policy that, okay, if you really are seeking asylum, you apply for it in the nearest country to you instead of coming all the way to the U.S. from, like, South America?
Exactly. Yeah, it's called the Safe Third Country Rule, and that's the premise. Is if you're truly fleeing for your life, you would ask for protection in the first safe place you arrive, not traverse 3, 4, 5 countries just to ask for it in the U.S. because this is where you wanted to be. That's forum shopping or country shopping. And so the idea is, no, if you do that, we're going to send you back to that first safe country. Go apply for asylum there. We did that in the Trump administration, and you would be not at all surprised at how effective it was, and people would say, no, never mind, I'm just going to go home.
It's just amazing how one thing builds off of another. So they limit the detention, but they also make it easy for them to get work cards, which just encourages more. So they don't have enough detention. Then they get rid of some of the asylum policies. Then they make the asylum policies easier. And then it just grows and grows until you have a crisis like we have now.
Yep. And it's not really rocket science. If you apply consequences, consequences work. And then you are preventing illegal immigration in the first place. And then you're not throwing good money after bad to deal with, to go after smugglers or human traffickers, et cetera, et cetera. And that's something, you know, this administration likes to pat itself on the back as starting more smuggling investigations or helping more trafficking victims when they themselves are creating the smuggling and the trafficking victims. So it's quite perverse.
Very interesting. Laura Reese, really appreciate you coming on the show today, giving us this much-needed perspective on a issue that's just getting more and more serious by the day. Laura, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again in the future.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Going to take a break here. If you want to react to that, you can on the text line 251-343-0106 or call in at that number as well. You're listening to Yaffe filling in for Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Oh my gosh, the left is melting down when it comes to this decision over the EPA rule. Wow, I got to read it. I was talking about AOC earlier. I got to read another tweet from her. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, ach, as I call her. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean Sullivan here on FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. One thing I do want to talk about is what's going on here in Alabama with this decision in one of the Senate races. Whatever the latest is on that, it wasn't a tie, then it was a tie, then it was going to be decided by a coin flip, and then it was not going to be decided by a coin flip. There is some of that going on, by the way, but I got to read this tweet from AOC, man. She said, catastrophic. A filibuster carve out is not enough. We need to reform or do away with this whole thing for the sake of the planet. This goes exactly what I was talking about earlier on in the show. What Paul Krugman was saying. Or is she saying we need to do away with the court? Because all the court did here was give her more power, believe it or not. All the court did here was say the EPA can't just do whatever it wants. That something like this, it has to get congressional approval. That was the decision. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is freaking out because something might have to be decided in Congress and wants to throw out the whole process in order to save the planet. And this is what I'm talking about. They don't believe in saving democracy or whatever. They're just using this because it's convenient right now. But socialists always, 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 always do this. They will say there's some kind of crisis that needs to be solved. COVID was one, climate is the other, poverty, whatever. They will say the only way to solve it is to get rid of some Republican institutions that exist because they really get in the way of us solving this. So we need to get rid of those institutions and give more power to the dictator, I guess. And this time it would be the president because the EPA's in the executive branch under the president of the United States. And then we'll say, we have to do this. All your rights and all that stuff. Yeah, I get that. But, you know, this is a crisis, you see. She said this is for the sake of the planet. There will always be something. They said the same thing about guns. They're saying it now about the climate. They don't care about the institutions that they say that they're trying to protect from people like Trump. They always do. Remember earlier she said, we need to take the power back so we can protect, what'd she say, economic rights and civil rights. Yeah, when they say economic rights, that means the government needs to provide you everything. And by doing that, they're going to take away your real rights, which is the right to private property, the right to bear arms, for instance. They will always, always, always argue that we need to take away these liberties. We need to take away these Republican institutions because they're, and when I say Republican, I'm not talking the party, I'm talking small R Republican institutions, because they're getting in the way of being able to solve this crisis. That's what they're doing. And what's amazing is they did give her the power back in this case, but it doesn't matter. It's catastrophic. Paul Krugman was saying the same thing. It's the argument they always make. And then I saw another, you talk about the left melting down. I saw another tweet by, saying, and pull it up, by Christian Amanpour on CNN talking about the abortion thing. This is insane. Adam Kinzinger said something similar recently. Said the state of American women's rights are being really looked at by the rest of the world. You think the Taliban are going to say, oh, yeah, we're going to adhere to what you tell us for recognition based on what, you know, on what we do about women? That's right. Because we have decided in some states that a woman, that the child in the womb has a right to live. That is similar to what the Taliban does to women. That this is the American Taliban. I mean, I shouldn't laugh because it's kind of serious, but it's just like these people are insane. It's just, what are you talking about? I did want to say real quick before I go on this thing going on in Alabama. So apparently the Alabama Republican Party today, it's going to rehear arguments concerning its decision to grant State Senator Tom Watley a tying vote in the Senate District 27 GOP primary. If it is a tie, it would be decided by lot. That's what the law says, decided by lot, which means coin flip. And I think if we're going to do this, I do think we need to, if we're going to have ties, at least I think if it's, coin flip is just pure chance. I think there's got to be at least some skill involved, right? I saw someone post this on Twitter, and I think it's a great idea. Instead of a coin flip, rock, paper, scissors. Because, I mean, at least there's some skill involved there. You still have to make some choice, right? Best 2 out of 3, rock, paper, scissors. I could say maybe it's like a game of rummy or something like that with cards. But I guess that's a lot of pure chance. How about an arm wrestling? Nah, arm wrestling competition. Maybe like a trivia game. That's what it should be. It should be some kind of Alabama political trivia where they each are asked, I don't know, 10 questions, and it's like Jeopardy where you have to buzz in, and whoever wins the Jeopardy Alabama trivia game by the Alabama GOP will be the winner in this tie in the GOP contest. I mean, if we're going to do it by coin flip, I think, I don't know if you agree with me, Dalton. Dalton, I don't know if you're there, but if you are, I was wondering if you would prefer maybe a trivia game. Or rock, paper, scissors.
Both very, you know, those would both be awesome. I'd have to go trivia game, though.
Trivia, because there's a little more skill involved.
Yeah. I mean, you could play like a college drinking game.
A college drinking game?
Flip cup, maybe, quarters. Could they do any of that?
Might as well at this point. Of course, but as long as gambling's not involved, because that's... that's illegal. I know that. I mean, it would probably have to be done with marijuana because we're just obsessed with wanting to legalize that now. Appreciate everyone listening to the show. Appreciate getting to fill in for Sean. If you want to find out more about me, follow me on Twitter at Yaffe. And, well, I'll see you guys next time. Thank you so much.